So over the years, I've enjoyed watching the TV series Who Do You Think You Are?, where so-called famous people have clever experts and tireless researchers from the BBC discover their family tree and then make it look like they've done all the hard work themselves. I'm assuming the point of the programme is to inform the viewers that whilst we think we know these various celebrities, we actually don't really know them at all. Who knew? Even more astonishing, it turns out that they don't seem to know themselves either. In some cases, not even their own maternal grandmother. Yet, much to the viewing public's relief, somehow unearthing the family lineage and creating a complicated ancestry profile miraculously unlocks this profound mystery of who the famous person really is. 60 minutes of television, including rather dire reading of indecipherable census documents, plus a quick trip to somewhere other than GB, and the identity crisis is solved. This morning, I've been invited by you at Christchurch to speak on the topic Seeking Our Identity in Christ. As we try to get to grips with this vast topic, and it is a vast topic in this short time, I'm hoping to steer us through four main points so you can listen out. First, we will try to recognise some of the ways of our society and our own hearts struggle with the question of identity. Second, we will consider how God wants to help us by leading us to repent of seeking our identity in the wrong places. Third, we will try to take some time to remember the new and better identity we are given in Christ. And fourth, and finally, we will think about how we can reconnect these truths to our lives. So first, let's try to recognise some things about this theme within ourselves and in our culture. Who do you think you are? How would you answer that question? The quest for identity in this generation has become a huge and complex topic. At a time when God and all his perfect ways are being increasingly disregarded and scorned by much of the Western world, the search for meaningful identity in the 21st century seems to have reached unprecedented levels. In past generations, people found their identity and therefore their security in their community and in their families or clans in which they were raised. Our generation, in contrast, has developed an obsession with self, the domination of the individual, the kingdom of me, where I am encouraged to find myself within myself. Well, according to what suits me during this particular season of life, and therefore is always changeable. Nowadays, our culture says I determine my very essence according to the beliefs that have somehow filtered through into my consciousness through whichever means, that could be the media or through my peer group, and whichever sounds the most plausible to me at any moment. This is where we're told is how my identity is to be discovered, to be nurtured, and to be launched. And this loud message of our age sounds liberating, doesn't it? I get to decide practically everything. But it's a wicked trap. Remove God and seek your identity in anything but him, and all that is left is a tragic and futile scrambling within the dark depths of sinful self that leads to absolutely nowhere meaningful. Where we have currently arrived is truly heartbreaking, particularly among young people, but other people as well. Our world is full of precious souls who are stressed out of their minds, anxious, disorientated, self-absorbed, insecure, fickle, fragile, and very, very confused. Let me tell you about a friend of mine who could be rightfully described as a devoted wife, a wonderful mother, and an extremely active member of her local church. She absolutely throws herself in everything she does. Nothing is too hard for her or too much for her to handle. She's constantly on the go, carries out all her duties with energy and positivity, and rarely complains. She's not perfect, but she's great. Several years ago, when the time came for her last child to reach secondary school age, she uncharacteristically became restless, perplexed, and I believe insecure. Though financially the family was very secure, practically overnight she decided to reboot her career in teaching, which she'd stepped out for 14 years, and get back into the classroom at the first possible opportunity, which she did. Like for many, this was not a particularly unusual decision or necessarily a wasteful direction for her to pursue. In some ways, it made a lot of sense. But it was the underlying motivation that generated the sudden change which really surprised me. She shared with me that she could no longer bear the idea of being identified as just a mother, but openly admitted that she wanted, in addition to that, the title teacher. I presume to complete her worth. Her identity as a professional woman and how she would be recognised, described, and dare I say, in her mind perhaps judged, meant everything to her. Even as Christians, it appears that we are not immune. Our perception of ourselves and the inevitable link to how we hope and or fear other people perceive us can easily form the basis of our quest for our identity. Who we are, and may I suggest particularly what we do, matters. This is not to say that the relationships and roles that we have been given in the home, in the workplace, or in the church are of no worth. Far from it. They have great worth and meaning. They are often part of God's blessing and purpose for us. The problem comes when we put too much or all of our worth in the things that we think define us, rather than who God says we are. And this really matters. This can be the difference between living a life fulfilled or living a life in bondage. If you're like me, on the surface you may struggle to recognise those areas which may have become the basis for your identity. You may feel relatively secure and content with your life, or you've reached an age when you think, I couldn't care less. Or you might find just getting through the day preoccupies all your thoughts and you don't have time to think about things like this. But I think we need to stop and dig deep and think again as somebody's walking towards me. But this matters more than we think. I really think this matters. So consider with me some of the more subtle areas in which we may be searching for and establishing our identity. We may not even realise it. So listen to some of these general statements. I haven't got anybody in mind. They're just general statements, and see if any of these things ring true for you. There's quite a list, so just bear with me, okay? I was secure, not me personally, but I was secure in my identity until I was removed from that ministry I started years ago that is now deemed by others as a bit old-fashioned and stale. I was secure in my identity until I was overlooked for promotion at work again in favour of a more junior, less competent colleague. I was secure in my identity until I realised I'm no longer able to keep up with current fashion and I'm a bit self-conscious about my looks. Or how about this? I had to relocate to a poorer area of town because my husband has lost his job again. I was secure in my identity until my teenage child rebelled and very publicly rejected their Christian upbringing. I was secure until I was overshadowed by a new, more vibrant character in my close-knit friendship group. Or when I was no longer considered the voice of authority on the committee I attend. Or the truth about my rocky marriage becomes common knowledge. Or my health declined and I was forced to take a break from all my activities in church. Now I don't feel needed. Remove these typically ordinary identity markers and many, many more that I'm sure you could think of. Remove those from our lives and we can be left feeling surprisingly vulnerable, lost, ignored, and maybe even worthless. And yet, this is not how we are meant to live. These things we do or align ourselves with were never meant to establish our identity in the first place. But we've allowed it, only to find that living like this weighs us down, and it doesn't satisfy us for very long. So how are we to respond? What should we do instead? Well, over the issue of identity and the search for it in the wrong places, I think God is lovingly calling us first to repent. The idea that anything meaningful is found exclusively in anything other than God deeply offends him and hurts our relationship with him, because he deserves the rightful place as Lord in all of our lives. So repentance starts with recognising where I'm living a life of pride, for self. It means renouncing all the ways where I've put my hope, my identity and my worth in something or someone other than Jesus. This is the starting point. And in his word, God warmly and lovingly invites us to not only approach him in repentance, but also teaches us how to approach him. I just want to read something from two passages. One is 1 John. John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then in Hebrews 4, this is how we're to approach him. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace, mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. These are great promises to us. So we to confess to the Lord where you may have sought your identity other than in him. If you're not sure where that is, ask him to show you. Turn back to Jesus and repent. At the beginning, I asked the question, who do you think you are? Actually, it's the wrong question. In our search for meaning and worth and identity, if we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ, the question we should be asking is, who has God already said you are? Have you forgotten? To find out, we need to open up our Bibles again. We need to take a look. We need to take it in, don't we? Because that's where we're going to remember. Not to mention that we're all created in the image of God. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave his life for me. If you have put your trust in Jesus, this is true of you too. And I am told on good authority by the lovely man who sleeps next to me, because I'm no scholar, that the Greek word for I in this passage is the word ego. It's our word for ego. That's interesting, isn't it? I have been crucified with Christ and my ego no longer lives. What would it mean for you and me, I wonder, to put our ego to death? On the cross, Christ Jesus identified with me so that through his grace, I can identify with him and therefore find my identity through him as I enjoy a living relationship with him. As he is being crucified for me, I in return crucify my ego for him and start my new life living for him in him. Have you done that? I really hope so. Because what life and identity in Jesus looks like, according to his word, is absolutely glorious. We had a list earlier on of how we can go wrong when we put our identity in the wrong things. Let's listen to what it could be if we remember who we are in Jesus. Consider this new list. I am secure in my identity in Christ because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Or when the right time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, under law to redeem those under the law so that we might receive the full rights of sons. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, daughter. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. And how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I am no longer a slave, an orphan, an outcast, condemned, overlooked, forgotten, or ignored. I am reconciled. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am regenerated. I am a saint. I am sanctified. I am united with Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am loved. and I am free. I could go on and on and on. I have a sheet for you later with all of those things on it. This is who God says we are. Seeking my identity in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and only in Christ, is where I find unending delight, inexplicable treasure, peace, love, security, satisfaction, sufficient strength, purpose, acceptance, rest, all the things I'm looking for in life, for all of life, in one place, in humble submission, at the feet of the loving, risen Saviour, Jesus. What a precious gift this is to us. What a precious gift he is to us. Why in the world are we looking for our identity anywhere else? This is something truly worth enjoying. But how? Because you all know this, don't you? You think, I know this. I've known this since I was small. I know it. How do I make it real? How do I make it real? Well, we pray, don't we, first and foremost, for his Holy Spirit to help it become real to us. How do we put off and put on, as the Bible likes to instruct us? Put off and put on. How do we learn to become so deeply rooted in this that our fixed identity in Christ becomes the normal lens through which we see life, so that our head knowledge becomes deeply cherished heart knowledge? Well, we need to find ways to reconnect and keep on reconnecting in this path of life that we are on. We believe it, and now we persevere through it. This is our final part for today. How do we reconnect? Well, I'm just going to humbly suggest a few ideas for you that I need to hold on to as well. This is not instruction to you because I can do it. I need this help too. So here are a couple of ideas. I'm going to run through these fairly quickly as we come to the end. First point, come back to the foot of the cross and stay there. As you gaze at Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and believe in his triumphant shout, "It is finished," he really, really meant it. The implications of "it is finished" are vast and huge, but they are the words that we need to live by and say to each other. The striving of God's people is over. It is paid in full. We can rest in the finished work of Christ. Our identity is safe and it is fixed in him. You and I are loved now and for eternity. We do not need to achieve anything else to become someone of worth. We do not need to add anything. We do not need to move away from the cross. We just need to stay there and remember that that's where we fix our gaze for the rest of our lives. Jesus has done it. It is finished. 2, make it your daily practice and priority to listen to Jesus. This is not rocket science. Get out your Bibles, open it, and don't just read it, but listen to it. Get to know Jesus again and again and again. Take in what he is like, how he talked to people, how he loved them. Pray. Pick up on one of those statements in God's word of who he says you are and pray over it. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't conform anymore to the pattern of this world. We talked about the pattern of this world. Don't conform to it any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ask him to help you to learn to live your life in him and through him. 3, remember your status in Christ is fixed, even when your walk is wobbly. I don't know about you, but I have a very wobbly walk. But this is the mistake that we all make. How I walk the Christian life does not alter my status, but it can alter how I perceive my status and how I experience my relationship with God. It can be the difference between whether I enjoy Christ or not. Embrace the truth of your status and walk. 4, this is an important one for us, I think. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. Rejoicing in who I am in Christ leads to a life of gratitude. So often our anxiety over our identity is because we want something else. I want what she's got, or I want to be like her. We need to ask ourselves, why isn't Christ enough for me? Why is who I am in Christ not enough for me? We need to stop looking around at what we don't have and learn to be thankful for who you are, who we are, and what we do have in Christ. 5. Be sharp. Recognize the lies of Satan for what they are and join God in his work of battling the enemy. And this is hard work. Recognize the tricks of Satan, who said to Eve, did God really say, is still saying the same thing to us. Did God really say you're his child? Did he really say you're redeemed? Did he really say you're forgiven? Block out those light voices and lies and get to know who God is and learn to trust his voice even when you feel rubbish. You are not condemned. The voice of Jesus does not accuse. Satan does. 6. There's only 2 more. Look up and look out. We need to stop looking inside and get on with loving others. Stop contemplating yourself and start pointing to Christ. The message of the gospel is radically different to anything the world has to offer. The world says, it's all about me. Jesus says, it's all about me and them. Finding your identity in Christ means dying to self and finding real life in him. Serve others above yourself. Who are you afraid of? Who are you trying to impress? Replace those thoughts with, who can I help? Who can I serve? Who can I love today? That's liberating. And finally, keep your eyes fixed on heaven. Seems an obvious way to end, doesn't it? But we do have an amazing destination to focus on, a certain hope to aim for, and our arrival there will lay all our searching to rest. Can you imagine? Our perfect bodies, our perfect minds, our perfect identity, our perfect future. Well, this morning we've attempted to think about seeking our identity in Christ by recognizing, repenting, remembering, and reconnecting. I hope that that's been helpful for you and a helpful reminder of some comforting truths and a fresh look at Jesus. For some of you, maybe this discussion may unearth or reinforce a lifetime of confusion or hurt or misunderstanding, or I'm not quite sure I've got that right. You may be all too aware that your identity is confusing to you, and for this we have Jesus. I want to encourage you with the words, an invitation of Jesus himself in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Famous verses that we all know, but so lovely to come back to again and again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christchurch women of worth, embrace your group title. Own it in Christ. Let go of the burden of wrongly placed identity. Seek it in Jesus. Connect with him and live. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to us. Even though we are sinners, we are saved by grace, by the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for paying that price for each one of us. Thank you for saying it is finished. Thank you for all that that means for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in this journey that we're on, Lord, to keep looking up at you and finding all that we need for life in you. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.